If you will, take your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll be doing most of our reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I do ask you to be much in prayer for the message today. I really enjoy messages when I can just kind of rear back and preach, and today's not going to be one of those. It's going to be more of a lesson, maybe more so than a preaching, but y'all just pray for me that I'll be exactly where God would have me to be. I think it's something that I definitely need to apply to my life, something that'll help me to strengthen my Christian walk with God each and every day as we go from here and there and live our daily lives. I know that sometimes it's hard to find that dedicated time in our lives that we just say, hey, this is, I'm going to do this and do this and do that for God. But you know, I think if we can get to the place to where just during our daily lives, we concentrate on walking a walk and living a life that glorifies God, I believe that that's what God would be pleased with in our lives. So if you will, pray with me and pray for me that God will just bless as we get into the scripture this morning. Lord, again, we come to you, God, just want to thank you. We want to praise you for all your blessings. God, we do ask you as we get into your word this morning, God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help me to get it out the way that you've put it in. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into this scripture, God, I know that sometimes scripture is tough for me to explain in the way that I feel like you've given it. And God, I pray that you'll just help me this morning, that we'll all take your word, that we'll let it come into our hearts and our minds. We'll let you digest it in our lives, God, and that we will use our best to use your word, God, and to walk closer with you each and every day. God, I want to thank you and praise you most of all for saving us when we were unworthy, God. I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to always to realize what a gift of salvation that you have given us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let's begin reading with verse number 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." As we've come together this morning, I want us to take a few minutes and I want us to look at what Corinthians chapter number 12 is telling us about the body of Christ. And we make up the body of Christ. And as we're here this morning, I know that we're missing a whole lot of our body this morning. We're missing a whole lot of our members this morning. And I'm not talking about church membership on the roll. I'm talking about church membership as the body of Christ this morning, or members as the body of Christ. And this morning, as we've come together, I think it's important for us to understand about the body of Christ and the body of this church. You know, there is two kind of different things. So you have the body of Christ that makes up the church. You know, there is only one church, right? And that is all saved, born-again believers. We all belong to one church. But this morning, we have decided in our lives, and we have decided that what's right for us and our families and individually, that being part of Fellowship Baptist Church is where God has led us and where God wants us to be. So then you also have this body that we have come together as a local assembly this morning. We have come together and we have said that we want to unite with Fellowship Baptist Church. We want to be part of this local body, this local assembly. And as we look at this local body this morning, I know that there's some things here in 1 Corinthians that spoke to my heart to help me as we go forward to make this body as strong as we possibly can make it, to make this body as useful as we can possibly make it. The one desire that I have as a body of Christ is that we follow God's leadership in everything that we do. If we follow God's leadership as a body of believers, if we follow God's leadership, we will find that this body works together. We will find that this body comes together. We will find that this body is very effective for the glory of God. That being one thing is to make Christians stronger. One thing is that we come together and that we draw strength one from another, but also that this body may be used to let someone else know about Jesus Christ, that they may receive salvation before it's everlasting too late. My desire for this church and for this local body is that we follow God's leadership in everything that we do, and if we do that, we will be a strong body that affects this lost and dying world. As we look at this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we've read verses 12 through 14. And as we see here in these verses, we are all saved by the same Spirit. We are all washed by the same blood. We have come to Christ the same way. Each and every one of us was as lost as the other. And now we are all children of God. And I say that because I think it's very important this morning that we level the playing field. I think it's very important that we understand that I'm no more of a Christian than any one of you, that I am no more important than any one of you, that the deacons in this church, they're not any more special than any of you, that because that Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross, that each and every one of us as members of the body of Christ and as members of this local assembly, this local body, that each and every one of us, we have a role to play. We have a job to do, and we need to do these to the best of our ability. And if we look at these criteria that was laid out here in verses 12 through verse number 14. Let's read again in verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, there's many different stories in this place this morning. If we took just a minute, and if some of you weren't too shy, and we could get up and have you tell where God brought you from, we would find that there are some in here that was saved at a really young age. We would find that there were some that were saved in their teens. We would find that some of you were little hellions that God brought. I'm just kidding. I want you to stay with me this morning. That some of you lived a life that you're not happy with, and that God reached down and saved you. But you know what? The one that was saved at 7 and the one that met God later in life that had to experience a lot of things that they wish they could not have experienced, you know what? One was just as lost as the other, and one took the blood of Christ just as the other to bring them into the body of Christ. So there is no ups and downs, and I'm better than you, and you're better than me. It is all that we have been brought into the family of God, into this body, through Jesus Christ and through his perfect work on Calvary. I'm thankful this morning that God don't look at my past, but he looks at Jesus Christ being applied to my heart and into my life. Let's continue reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse number 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. You know what? When we look at this body of Christ, aren't you glad that every member of this body is not the same? What if everybody was just like me? Wouldn't be too good of a place to be. What if everybody was just like you? I can take some of you in small doses, and that's about... No, I'm kidding. I love y'all. Y'all are my family. But no, seriously, if we were all the very same, what would this church have to offer? Some of you have testimonies that can reach people that I cannot reach. Some of you have things that have happened in your life, and you've been through some things that God has gave you strength through, that you can reach out to people that I'll never be able to reach. Some of you go to places and witness to people that I could never go to and witness to. They wouldn't have it. They wouldn't hear it from me, but from you. They look and say, that guy knows where I've been. That lady, she knows where I've been, and God uses each member to do a specific part in the body of Christ. It's just like the Bible is saying here, what if every part was the eye? What if he was one big eyeball? What if he was one big ear? There would be so many different things in life that you would miss out on. There would be so many opportunities that we would miss out on because we have different, many, many different jobs in the body of Christ. And the thing of it is we really don't realize how much we rely on each other. See, this morning, the body feels a little bit handicapped, doesn't it? There's a lot of people not here. Y'all don't feel it? Y'all with me? Yeah, okay, all right. I just want to be sure. Yeah, it's working. So as we're sitting here this morning, and a lot of our body is not here. A lot of our members of our body is not here. And some due to COVID and some that still isn't comfortable coming back to church, and I completely understand. I wouldn't downplay that whatsoever. And some because of road conditions this morning, they weren't comfortable coming to church. I know they're joining us on Facebook, and again, I'm thankful for the opportunity of that ministry, but I believe that because the body is not able to come together in a complete body, I believe that the church is experiencing a weakness weakness right now. I believe that the church, the local assembly, is experiencing a weakness right now. How many people do you talk to during a week's time that say, hey, I miss hearing good old choir singing on Sunday morning. I miss being able to go to somebody and shake their hand or hug their neck and tell them what they mean to me or just see how they're doing this week. I believe because of some of the things that we are experiencing right now that the body has been weakened just a little bit. And church, we really don't realize how much that we rely one on another. You just think about it. If you come in here this morning and I got up here and I just started preaching just point blank, maybe sometimes like I have to from my house when we do a virtual service only, I miss the music. The music gets my heart prepared for the gospel. I miss the singing. I miss saying hey to some of you. I miss seeing your face here in the sanctuary. I believe that we rely on one another way more than we could ever recognize, or maybe way more than we ever would admit. But this morning, the body depends on one another. My body, it all functions together this morning. And there are things that it's doing this morning that I don't even realize that it's doing that I rely on. There's people in this church that are doing things that you don't even know that they're doing. There's people at home this week that have called your name out to God, that has been praying for you that you know nothing about. And that part of the body is so important. There's some of you that have done things this week that nobody knows anything about, but it is so important for the body to be efficient the way that it's supposed to be. See, individually, we might be a little bit insignificant. I couldn't help but again, think about the snow that fell last night. Each and every snowflake that falls is a little different, right? But each and every snowflake, if just one little snowflake fell, it would seem that that snowflake is insignificant. It would seem that, hey, this snowflake didn't do much at all. But when a bunch of snowflakes fall together, and even though that they're each and every one of them are different, when they stick together and when they bind together, there is something amazing that happens. And you wake up and you go outside and the ground is covered. There's a lot of snow out there. And we all get just joyful because there's so much snow. We think about making snow cream and snow sledding. And all of those things change because the snow stuck together. Things change because each and every individual snowflake worked together and bound together and come together. Well, you know what? That's what's got to happen here at Fellowship Baptist Church. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we got to bind together, come together, worship together, pray together, study together. We got to be the body that God has called us to be. It's amazing what all of that can do when it comes together. But let me just go ahead and make this clear while we're talking about it. That one little snowflake that seems so insignificant by itself, that one little one that you might catch in your hand and by itself, it looks like it's not very important. Do you know that God knew exactly where that snowflake fell? Absolutely. God knew exactly where it fell. So sometimes when you might be thinking that I'm insignificant, don't you worry about that whatsoever. God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what you're going through. And God knows exactly how to help you in that circumstance that you're in. None of us are insignificant individually, but at the same time, we're so much more powerful when we come together. Let's continue reading in the scripture. Verse number 18. Bible says, but now God hath set us members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. Verse number 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more are those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Each and every one of us, we have something that God has given us to do, and I know that that's what God is talking about in this scripture, but I want us to look at the body as a whole this morning. And I think it's amazing how when we look at our body, how all of these little parts work together, and how that each and every part... Now look, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm just going to tell you what I was told as a youngster. My grandpa, on my mom's side, my mom's dad, he had gone deer hunting one day, and when he come back from deer hunting, let this be a lesson to you too. He come back from deer hunting, he was trying to carry everything that he had in the house at one time. And when he was carrying it all into the house, his gun slipped, and he reached to grab his gun, and he shot his three middle toes off. So he don't have three toes on that foot. I know that's a wonderful story to share this morning, isn't it? Here's the point of the story. When you think about your body, when he went to the hospital and they got everything taken care of, the doctor looked at him. This is what I was told as a youngster. So some of you medical professionals, you look at me and say, well, that ain't true. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to misguide you. So from what mom told me, that the doctor told them if he had shot his pinky toe off, that he would be learning to walk all over again. That his balance was in his pinky toe. Now, when you look at my pinky toe, and Autumn says I have ugly feet. I don't know where she gets that from. The Bible says beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel, and I try to remind her of that. But when you look at my pinky toe, and I look at it, and it seems so insignificant. That pinky toe, it don't do anything. It gets in the way when I try to put my socks on. It does do that. And I look at it, and it seems so insignificant. I never even think about my pinky toe whatsoever. But if my balance is in that toe, it's pretty important of what that toe does. And you know, sometimes in our church, we look and we say, well, this might be insignificant, and what I'm doing doesn't mean a thing, and what this happens over here, that's really not that much. But it takes everything working together for everything to work the way that God wants us to work. And this body is made up of so many different parts, and whatever your job is that God has given you, do it wholeheartedly as unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what it's about. But now let's look at the body as a whole. See, there are some things that happen involuntarily. There's some things that happen that I have no control of in my body. My heart beats without me thinking about it. My lungs work without me thinking about it. Many times as a young kid, I remembered I was going to hold my breath till I passed out just to show Mama and Daddy. I never made it that far, never did. But my lungs work without me thinking about it. My digestive system works without me thinking about it. There's things in my body that works that I don't have to put a lot of effort into. But you know, there are things in our lives that we do that we absolutely have to think about it. They have to be taught. They have to be learned. They require effort and practice in our life. And just for the fun of it, I asked Brooklyn to come up this morning, and she's going to play us a little something because I want to use her for an example this morning. Go ahead, Brooklyn. Here's the illustration with that. Brooklyn was not born knowing how to play the piano. Brooklyn had made a decision in her life that she wanted to learn to play the piano. So she went and she took lessons. She practiced. She's put effort into it. And over through repetition, her fingers have learned to hit the keys in the right places at the right time. Her fingers have learned. She has taught her body how to do stuff that she had a desire to do. So as we look at our bodies and we know that there are things that happen like our heart beating, our digestive system working, our lungs working, there's also things in our spiritual body that we have to put some effort into, that we have to put some repetition into, that we have to learn how to do. When we come to come to know Jesus Christ, there's some things that we need to do as Christians that don't just happen lickety split and everything knows how to work like it's supposed to. We have learned behaviors that we have to look at. I want us to look at some learned behaviors that I think is very important to this body, this local assembly this morning, if we're going to function the way that God wants us to function. These are spiritual things that happen in our life. First of all, I think it's important that our spiritual, local body, I think it's important that we learn how to pray and study the Word of God. I think it's really important. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean that I know how to pray? Well, if somebody asks you, how do you pray? Do you really know how you pray? Do you really know what prayer consists of? Do you really know how to talk to God or explain to someone else how to talk to God? And you say, well, preacher, you've always just told us to talk to him like we're talking to our best friend. Absolutely. So why in public when we pray do we think we have to use great big words? Some of you, if I called on you to pray at the end of service, your knees would begin knocking and you would catch me on the way out the back door and say, preacher, please don't call on me to pray. Some of you might would just turn and walk out if I called on you to pray. And I'm not saying that public prayer is something that you have to do in order to be right with God or to be part of the body, but I'm just saying this. Do you really know how to pray? How often do you pray? When you wake up in the morning, is it a prayer life that you have with God at that point in time? Or is your prayer, like some of us sometimes, I know I get in a rut and a routine sometimes, and my prayer is the same thing. This, 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 and this. And there are some times that I have a specific need that I'm going to call out to God every time that I pray. But a lot of times, the times that I pray is when I'm getting ready to eat. When I sit down and I want to return thanks for the meal that I'm getting ready to eat. But I think we as Christians, if we're going to be the body, the spiritual body, here in this local assembly that God wants us to be, I believe that it is time that we learn how to pray and that we learn how to study the Word of God. I know as we've been talking this week, I've talked to several different people about this. I believe that the local assembly, the church, let's talk about fellowship this morning. I'm here at fellowship. I believe that we do not do a good job at discipling new Christians. And you say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, how many of you, when you got saved, did they come to you and they prayed with you? Maybe they gave you a Bible, and then they patted you on the back and say, you just made the best decision you've ever made. I'm going to be praying for you. That's about what I got. Now, I had some further discipleship through dad and through Sunday school and things like that. But we as a local body and as a local assembly, I believe that we don't do a good job discipling young Christians and teaching them what the Word of God says. There's so many of us that we have beliefs and we couldn't tell others why we believe the way that we believe. Some of us this morning, we would say, I believe this, and we would stand on it firm, and your belief may be correct. It may be exactly with the Word of God. But could you tell someone else why you believe the way that you believe? Could you come out? I believe for us to be the body that God wants us to be. I believe that our prayer life needs to increase. I believe that our study needs to increase and our faithfulness unto God needs to increase. And those are things that we have to practice in our life. It's not something that just magically happens when you get saved. It's not something that just, oh, I got saved and now I know how to pray and I know how to study. It's not the way that it happens. It's something that we may have to practice in our life and that requires some effort if we're going to be the body that God wants us to be. Also, something else, I'll hit this one really quick because nobody likes to hear a preacher talk about this one. I believe if we're going to be the body that God wants us to be, then we need to know what the Bible says about giving and tithing. I didn't think I'd hear an amen after I anywhere. Look, I'm not asking you to pay more money. I'm not asking you to do any of those things. But I'm asking you this morning, do you really know what the Bible says about tithing? And what the Bible says about giving. Now, I want to tell you this. Our church has been very blessed financially, even through the past year, through COVID. I'm not going to go into numbers because we're on Facebook, and it ain't all of Facebook's world business what we do here. But our church has been very blessed that even through COVID and through everything else, that God has provided, and we have still been able to reach out with some extra ministries, and we've still been able to do some really cool stuff with the finances that God has given us. But what I want you to know is this, is it doesn't matter whether this church brings in $100 or $100 million. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're being obedient unto God and you are growing into the Christian that God wants you to be. It doesn't matter whether I give $5 or whether I give $500. As long as I am following what God has told me to do in His Word when it comes to tithing and when it comes to giving. And there is a complete difference. There is a tithe that God expects from us. And then there is a gift that we can give over and above tithing. Amen. Go ahead, give me one amen. All right. I just want to be sure but we'll get that out of the way. And that's something that has to be practiced. That's something that has to be molded into our lives. Hey, I can remember a time when Autumn and I first got married to think about giving a tithe. Oh, man. We didn't have it. We couldn't have done it. And we began to pray about it, and we figured out that somewhere along the line that we couldn't afford not to tithe. It wasn't that we couldn't afford to tithe. It was that we couldn't afford not to tithe because we needed God to bless everything that we did. And when I look back at our finances and I see the bills that we had and how much money we made at that time, it is only by God that we made it through those times. So when we need to look at some things in our lives, as a local body, I think that it is very important that we look into our prayer life, our study life, our giving and our tithing. I think it's very important that we as spiritual beings here together in this family, that we learn, if we haven't already learned, but that we continue to learn, that we overlook our faults and our failures, that we love one another, and that we forgive one another. When you spend as much time together as we spend together, and especially before COVID, when we would get together and we would play games over here in the fellowship hall, and we might go to somebody's house and everybody get together and do this and do that. You know, sooner or later, somebody's going to say something that offends you or that hurts your feelings. If you get around Lynn Weddle very long at all, you're going to have your feelings hurt. Just fire back, the only thing I can tell you. But no, if we're spend that much time, well, I can't believe Sister Susie said that. I can't believe he said that. You're going to find something that you disagree on. Sooner or later. Do you know what? In order for this body to be what God wants us to be, this body has to forgive one another. We have to overlook faults and failures. We have to strengthen one another. I know I've used this example before, but it is so true that anytime that I put a hammer in my hand, I don't know why that this hand thinks it's important to smack this hand. I don't know why that my hand wants to do that. I don't know why the body would do that and hurt each other, but I also don't understand why a body of Christian believers would come together and intentionally hurt one another. Well, preacher, what in the world's going on? I don't know of a thing that's going on. That's the reason this is the best time in the world to preach a message like this. I have no idea of anything that's going on, but I do know this, that through COVID and through some other things that's going on right now, we are in a place that I feel the body of believers is weakened. I believe that the church is weakened, and I want you to know this, that the church is not weakened, because the Bible says upon this rock, Jesus Christ is where the church is built, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. So it's not the church, but individually as members of this body, I believe that if we're not careful, that we will weaken in the time that we're going through. I believe it's important that we know how to share the gospel and lead others to Jesus Christ. As we've said so many times, I love coming to church with you guys. I love singing. I love clapping. I love doing the things that we do here. I love good preaching. I love all of those things. But if we do all of those things and we know that we never know what God takes our services and does with them, we have no idea. We do know that the Bible says that His word will not return void. So God does some things that we don't understand or don't see. But here's the thing, church. I want to go to heaven with y'all. I love spending time with y'all. But I want some more to go with us. I want us to be a body where people come in and come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Number five, and I'm almost done. I believe something that we need to practice, that we need to learn, that requires some effort in this body. This is one that I'm really concentrating on in my life right now. And this one seems really tough to me, is being more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a living God. Y'all with me that far, right? I believe that God's Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. Let me put this disclaimer out there real quick. God's Holy Spirit is not going to lead me to do anything contrary to His word. If I come in here and tell you that God has told me to do something and it is contrary to God's word, I'm wrong right there. Mark it down. But I want to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God in my life. Just this week, someone told me a story of a family that was in need of some groceries. They had been praying about the groceries, and this was a true story. This was not just a little cute little story in a book. This was a true story. They were fixing to go see if they could find some groceries. And as they started out the door, a knock was on the door. And when they opened the door, there stood a guy with two bags of groceries that they had never met in their life. And he said, I don't know why I feel foolish standing here, but God asked me to buy these groceries and bring them to you. If it's not for you, you pray about it and see who they need to go to. That happened. That truly happened. Well, that's wonderful that God provided for that family. But you know what? I want to become so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that I can be the guy that God speaks to and says, go buy the groceries, and that I actually do it. I'm struggling with that right now, church. I mean, I'm seeking for that in my life because I want to know how to lead this church. I want to know how to lead my family. I want to know how to live my life in order to point somebody else to Jesus Christ. And if I'll get to where I am sensitive to the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, look, I try to let him lead me and guide me day by day. I let him try to lead me through his word. But to be sensitive enough to say, you know what I'm doing right now may be important, but this is more important because this is what God wants me to do. That's what I'm working on right now. I want to let that increase in my life. And I believe that if we as a church, as a body of believers, if we do these things that we've been talking about this morning, I know God is already blessing us. God has already given us some great services together, given us some great time together. But don't you want God to use us? I do. I love the fellowship. I love the services that we have together. But I want God to use us. I want to see people who used to be in church that are no longer in church. And I'm not talking about just because they don't want to come because of COVID. I'm talking about people who are out of church, that they got church hurt, that something happened in their life, that family situation, whatever happened, that they got out of church. I want to see God use us to help them. And so they can get back to where they need to be with God. I want to see God use us that when we go out to this world, that somebody sees something in us, that they want to come in here and they get exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and they come to know him as their personal Savior. I want to see those things happen. And I'm going to pray for y'all and I want y'all to pray for me. That as we grow together as a church, that first of all, we realize that nothing that we do is insignificant. What God tells us to do, it's not insignificant. If we work together, we can be what God wants us to be, and that we can be a body that functions effectively for God's glory and to point somebody else to Jesus Christ. Hannah, will you come sing a song of invitation for us this morning? Well, preacher, that wasn't a glory hallelujah message. No, it wasn't for me either. When I look at these things, I know that there's times that my study life is real good, and there's times that it's not. There's times that my prayer life is real good, and then there's times that it's not. There's times that I'm willing to share the gospel with someone else, and there's times that other priorities are in my life, and there is nothing more that should be a bigger priority than telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. As I got this message from God, and as he was speaking to me and showing me this body right here, it's amazing. Let's just think about this just one second, one real, real quick second. This body, fellowship, has been through some stuff, ain't it? This church has been through some stuff. And you know what? God has taken care of it, strengthened it, and kept it together for a purpose and for a reason. And that's what I want to see us do, is grow into the purpose and the reason that God has for us. Most of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to become part of the body. You need to realize that we're all sinners, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his life for you on a cross at Calvary. And if you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins and come into your life, that he'll wash you, just like we were talking earlier, as white as snow. And then you become part of the body. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want you to think, preacher, I'm practicing these things in my life because I want the body to function. First of all, I want my relationship with Jesus Christ to be right, but then also I want the body to function the way that God wants this body to function. Can you honestly say that this morning? Can you honestly say, hey, I'm paying attention. I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling others about Jesus Christ. I'm studying the way that I should. I'm praying the way that I should. I'm witnessing. I'm doing everything that you talked about this morning. Well, you know what? If you can't check all of the boxes, then you're like me, and and we all need help from God. Examine yourself. See, it don't matter what bar I set. It don't matter what you think you should be. It's what God has called us to be in His Word. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. God, I pray that You'll help us through the message this morning. God, I really love to preach shouting messages, but I believe when the body gets where it should be, that God, You can give us any message, and every message about Jesus Christ will be a shouting message for us. God, help us that we'll be the body that You've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, this altar's open. If you have an individual need, maybe you need to come and ask God for strength or to help you with some of these things, or maybe you just want to come pray for me, this altar's open.